Colossians chapter number 2, verse 16 through 19. It really does help you. I'd wear it more often if I was you. Remember last week I had the wrong version up. I went back to figure out what I had done, and what I had done, that was William Tyndale's version. When William Tyndale translated the first Bible into English, 1526, that was his translation. We got about 80% of the King James from William Tyndale, so that won't hurt you. May help you. verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful that you have allowed us to come together tonight. We understand that not only have you created all things, but by you all things consist, and our sustainment is in the hands of the Lord as well. And so we're grateful and thankful for your care and for your power and ability to come tonight. I pray, God, that while we are here, that you would speak to us from your word tonight, that you would instruct us and help us to see clearly these truths that have been recorded for us in your scriptures, and I pray that you would help us to be mindful of them, and you would help us to bow our hearts and our wills to these truths. May you be glorified in all that we do and say tonight. May you be the focus, and may you be made big. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Paul is concerned about the church at Colossae. And he's concerned because he knows that bad theology produces bad behavior. Bad theology produces bad behavior. And that's true. Get your theology wrong, and your behavior will follow. Now, Paul has laid out for the Colossians a very good and solid exposition of God's work in Christ and their union in Christ. He has reminded them that their salvation was by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross as he hung there, receiving the wrath of God, taking upon their sins in their place. And there is now nothing for them to add. Nothing left to do, nothing left to add. And what we are going to learn and what we have learned is that all heresy, all false teaching, in some form or another, is an attack on the sufficiency of Christ. It is an attack on the doctrine that Christ alone saves. And that seems to be the attack that these false teachers are taking with these believers at Colossae. Now, as I said, any false notions about the person of Christ, any false notions about the work of Christ and the nature of salvation has already been addressed by Paul in the previous verses. Paul has made perfectly sure that there has been an absolute clear understanding that all has been won by Christ and all that needed to be defeated was defeated by Christ. All that needed to be won, all that needed to be defeated has been done in Christ. So let's sort of walk through these verses tonight and talk about the sufficiency of Christ. We begin with an exhortation. Verse 16 is an exhortation to the believers at Colossae concerning the sufficiency of Christ. Let's read it again. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now, we know that most people today only read the first six words, right? They normally say, let no man therefore judge you. Right, is that the idea of today? We can't be judges, we can't judge. That's not at all what Paul's speaking of here. What Paul is saying is that we should not allow, as believers, we should not allow the gaining nor the growing of our spirituality to be judged by what we do or what we don't do. Let me say that again. We are not to allow anyone to judge the gaining of our salvation or the growing of our salvation by what we do or what we don't do. So, he says, don't let anyone judge you concerning meat or drink or in respect to a holy day, new moon, Sabbath days. Now, apparently, some have come into the church requiring of them more than Christ. It's Christ plus dietary things. It's Christ plus ceremonial holy days. So if you want to make sure you're saved, if you want to make sure your salvation and your spiritual temperature is growing, then you got to do this. The first of the two examples here is what you eat or what you don't eat or what you drink and what you don't drink. I think this is a continuation of Old Testament ceremonial dietary laws. You remember they thought there were some things you could eat that were clean animals, there were some things you couldn't eat that were considered unclean animals. So what is being brought into the church here at Colossae is, if you eat and drink right, then you are right. If you don't eat and drink right, then you're wrong. If you eat the clean foods and avoid the unclean foods, then you're going to be okay. But that is really an add-on, isn't it? Isn't that an add-on to Christ? What they're really saying is Christ is not enough. It's Christ plus what you eat or what you don't eat. The second example is holy days, festivals and new moons and Sabbath days. Now, these would be those days that were set aside for the Lord, dedicated to the Lord. They would be weekly, monthly, and yearly holy days. So not only is your spirituality, not only is your salvation dependent on your menu, now it's dependent on your calendar. You with me? Your obedience to dietary laws and your observance of holy days would be what would determine your spirituality. So what Paul says, don't let anyone judge you on dietary laws or on holy days. That's not the determiner of your salvation. Amen? Whether you eat clean animals or don't eat clean animals, whether you observe these holy days or not, that's not the determiner of your salvation. Don't let any man make it the determiner. Now, the bottom line is that these things, dietary laws, holy days, they were used to distinguish God's people from the world. Or in other words, God's people ate and drank differently than the world did, right? And God's people kept different schedules than the world did. And that, in part, distinguished them in the Old Testament. That is not what distinguishes us as God's people in the New Testament. Now, you understand that anyone can keep dietary laws. Tell me, if you'll give me a list and tell me what is good to eat and what's not good to eat, I can do that, right? Just give me a list. Or if you tell me the holy days, I can keep those. I can show up for those things. I can show up for Sabbaths, and I can show up for festivals. I can show up for those things. Anyone can do that, right? That doesn't prove a thing. We are distinguished not by what we do or what we don't do. We are distinguished by being in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Right? We are distinguished by our love for Him and our love for His people. Right? And we are distinguished by Him alone. What makes me saved? Christ. What makes me a Christian? Christ. What keeps me a Christian? Christ. Nothing else. There is nothing else we can do or not do to make us any more His child than what we already are. If you're in, you're in. You can't get any deeper in. Say amen. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. What I want to say here is Christ is sufficient. The person of Jesus is enough. The work of Christ is sufficient. There is nothing to do, nothing to add. Christ did it all. Do not let anyone make you think that you have to do anything else to be saved, to stay saved, or to grow in your spiritual walk. Christ is sufficient. That's what Paul's saying. Do not let any man, therefore, here's the therefore, remember? That will take us back where He told us all that we have in Christ. Therefore, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Why? Because you're in Christ and He is sufficient for your salvation. Amen? Now, let's move forward to verse number 17. Because here, after the exhortation, we have the explanation. Paul is now going to explain why those things, dietary laws and holy days, cannot contribute to our salvation and why Christ is sufficient. It's good to know why, right? Those things, dietary laws, holy days, and a thousand other things that we can think of, right? In the Old Testament, what were they? They were shadows of things to come. All the Old Testament dietary laws, all the Old Testament holy days were nothing more than what? Shadows. They never were intended to be anything other than a shadow. Say amen. They never were intended to be anything other than that which would point toward the real thing. Shadows can't save. Say amen. Shadows can't keep you saved. Shadows can't increase your spiritual walk. Shadows can't help you grow. Shadows can't keep you saved. Shadows only cast attention to that which produces the shadow. So Paul says, don't let anybody convince you to live your Christian life in the shadows. Don't let anyone cause you to use those things in ways that they were never intended to be used. Don't let anyone determine anything about you by the use of shadows. Don't let that which represents the real thing become more than the real thing. Don't let the thing that points to the future be the thing in the future. They're only shadows. They're not the real thing. They can't save. They just pointed to something still to come. So we have the shadows, but then we have this word body, which actually means substance. It is the substance of the shadows. It is what the shadows were pointing toward. It's what the shadows pictured. It's what the shadows foretold. All these things, the dietary laws, the holy days, all they did was foreshadow and represent that which would come in the person of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. When you have the real thing, do you need a shadow? You don't need pointers when you got the real thing, right? And you don't need representations when you have the real thing. What Paul's saying is that why do you need shadows? Don't let anyone try to determine your salvation on shadows when you've got the real thing. Christ has come. And He is what everyone was looking for and what everything in the Old Testament was pointing to. And when we were saved, what we did is we pulled every one of those shadows out of our closets, and when our closets were empty, we filled it with Christ alone. The substance is what we have. Now when Christ came and accomplished the work of salvation for us, all of these things, dietary laws, holy days, all the law, they lost their binding authoritative force in our lives. Now listen, there are some who still want to hold these as determiners, right? The Seventh-day Adventists will hold that you must keep the Sabbath if you're saved. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you're lost. Right? What did Paul just say? Don't let Sabbath be the determiner of your salvation. Your salvation is not in keeping Sabbath. It's what? In being in Christ. It's not in Sabbath. What do you do with that verse? Right? Let me ask you a question. You got a picture of your child or your grandchild. You're away and you got a picture. And so ever so often you pull that picture out and you look at that picture and you wish that you could be with them and hug them and squeeze them. And you finally get home. Do you pull the picture out? No, you embrace the reality, right? When you got the real thing, you don't have to have the picture. That's what Paul's saying. All of these are just pictures of that which is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The reality is Christ, and the reality can only be found in Christ. Don't let anyone add anything to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is enough. Right? Do not let someone cause you to keep dietary laws or Sabbaths or this or that to have or to extend your spirituality. If you have Christ, tell them He's sufficient. Right? If they try to get you to keep the Sabbath, say, I have Christ. He's sufficient. When they tell you you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go here and you can't go that, Tell them, I have Jesus Christ and He's enough. My hope and my trust is in Christ and He's enough. So it's not about what you wear. It's not about how long your hair is. It's not about any of that. What's it about? Do you have Christ? Don't let anyone cause you to lose sight of Him. Because isn't that the thing? Anything you add to Christ, doesn't that get our focus off Christ and on those things? Right? And doesn't that make salvation partly my contribution, what I do instead of what Christ has done? So Paul says, don't let it happen. Do not let it happen. Don't let any man try to convince you that your salvation is determined by any other thing but the substance of Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Now, two more verses here. I just call these the elaboration concerning the sufficiency of Christ. He says some more here. And really, I think he begins to address the false teachers that have come in to the church. And I want to say some things about them. And he says some things more after this, but we'll hold that till next week. Here's how Paul characterizes these false teachers, and I think we should pay attention. Let no man beguile you. That's an interesting word there. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I don't think this actually means that they were trying to get them to worship angels instead of God. I think it actually means that they were trying to worship as angels worship. But I want you to notice something here. Paul says, don't let someone disqualify you. Idea here, disqualify you. The idea here is a referee who calls balls and strikes. Don't let anyone disqualify you of your reward. Don't let someone make you think there's something you lack. That's the idea, isn't it? You know, Christ is good to have, but Christ is simply not enough. You have to add to Christ. So don't let anyone, and this is done today very subtly. They don't come out and say that. Christ is not enough, let's add something to Him. But you got to listen. Don't let someone who boasts of his own self-denials, voluntary humility. Someone who boasts of how much he denies himself and how spiritually he sacrifices so that he may have this intense worship. And if you'll do what I do, you can have that same intense worship. Sort of this higher plane, Keswick type of situation. Don't let anyone who boasts of his own self-denials and his own spiritual blessings, Paul says, that he really hadn't experienced. You see that? Don't let someone stand before you and brag about his own self-denial and his own spiritual experiences that he himself really hasn't experienced. He's just telling you he has. He's a charlatan. Say amen. Watch TV. There's all kinds of charlatans on TV that tell you all kinds of experiences that they themselves have not experienced. They get on there. You know what this actually means right here? Vainly puffed up. full of hot air. When you turn on TV and someone says, "I was shaving this morning and my good buddy Jesus was right there next to me and we were shaving together." You know what that is? That's full of hot air. They're saying something. They did not experience that. Or they went to heaven and their tie still smells like heaven. You want to smell it? They're full of hot air. That didn't happen. You see what I'm saying? They have all of this self-denial. They have all of this this program of how they deny themselves so that they can have these awesome, over-the-top spiritual experiences. And Paul says, they ain't had them. They're just puffed up with their own pride. They're just full of hot air. Now listen, there's a lot of people, apparently, like hot air. They got plenty of followers. They can get more to a place to hear them preach than I can. Right? They're full of hot air. Apparently people like to hear hot air. Because they're charismatic, because they're likable. So he says here, don't let any man beguile you. Don't let this happen to you through some voluntary, through some self-denial, greater plane, higher worship idea that they haven't even experienced themselves. They're just a bunch full of hot air. So here's how I want you to look at this. When you listen to somebody on TV, in person, on the internet, listen and see who he makes big when he preaches or when she preaches. God forbid. Who do they make big? Where does your attention become directed? Does he have a hard time not talking about himself? Does he have a hard time not making every Bible verse about himself? Listen. Will they point you to you? Will they point you to the church? Will they point you to themselves? And will they have a hard time simply pointing you away from everything else to Christ? You see, they have to make themselves big. They have to make the church big. They have to make you feel big so that you'll keep coming back and they can still keep living in their $2 million houses. They want to tell you that you can have a fuller spiritual experience that they themselves have not experienced except in their own mind. They think highly of themselves. Amen? And they're out there everywhere. They were in the church at Colossae. And Paul said, you don't let them beguile you. You don't let them call the balls and strikes in your life. They're not your referee. You don't let them disqualify you of your reward. You're in Christ. Now listen. Listen to what they say. If we would just listen. You know, I can get on the internet and listen for 5 minutes and tell you where that whole thing's going to. I can. It's all, because they'll always, very rarely, they'll mention Christ, right? They'll mention him. Give him a courtesy plug. But it's not about Christ. It's about you, and it's about the preacher, and it's about the church. Not about Christ. Look at this last verse here. And not holding the head. Who's the head? Jesus. Not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. So listen to what they say. And then listen to what's absent. Okay? Always listen to what is said. Who's he pointing me to? Who's he magnifying? Who's he making big? Who's he exalting? I hear a lot of exalting of himself. hear a lot of exalting of me, hear a lot of exalting of the church. But I need to hear exalting of whom? Christ. And then listen for what's not said. Give careful attention to what he does not say. What is missing in what they are saying? What is missing is the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. What are they not holding? The head. They're not magnifying him. They're not glorifying him. They're not. He is the absent one in the entire equation. And they can tell you 99 true things, but if they don't tell you the 100th thing that is most important, Christ, they're no help to you. They don't tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're no help. If he doesn't tell us it's Christ alone, if he doesn't tell us Christ is all we need, he's not telling us truth. Say amen. He is not being honest, and he's not helpful. I listened to a sermon this week. It was a sermon about, I forgot the points of the sermon, but it was heading toward a direction. And the direction that it got to was this. We Christians, if we're going to be true Christians, need to adopt foster kids. We Christians need to take the entire governmental process out of it, and we need to adopt kids. And if we are really spiritual, we'll do that. Now, folks, that's pretty dangerous, right? I think if you want to adopt a child, that's great. You can't pin that on everyone. And you can't make that the determiner of any kind of spirituality, whether you do or don't. And here's the question. Where's Christ? Where's Christ? Is he puffing up? Or is he building up? He's not holding up the head. Where is the head? Why is there always talk in these sermons about the body? What about the talk of the head? Where's the talk about that which nourishes the body? It comes from the head. Where is the talk about the increasing of our spiritual life with the increasement of God, not ourselves? Listen to them, and you'll discover the more you listen to them, the less you'll hear about Christ. Again, they'll drop his name. But there's little said about him. Is he not enough? And you know what happens? There'll be a lot of people, well, I don't know, there'll be some people who will go adopt a kid thinking that will bring them salvation. Because a preacher said. That's what Christians do. This is what he said. Look in the Bible. He says, look in the Bible. You've been adopted, so you should do some adopting. Folks, that's error. Amen? And it's dangerous. Paul saw the dangers in the church at Colossae, and he addressed them. And he said this, don't let anyone persuade you of anything else except Christ is enough. Dear Heavenly Father, bless our time together. Bless your word. May you use it to speak to our hearts. Help us to not let anything outside of Scriptures be that which is binding to us. Help us to always look to Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.